Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree,
oh Christmas tree.
I think you might be overdoing it, Dad.
Oh Christmas tree.
When was the last time I overdid anything?
And is there a tree?
No, instead there's a pole. Requires no decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
Trim up the tree with Christmas stuff.
Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
But Christmas trees are so bright and fun and pretty.
Now, from the Bob and Cherry Studios, rocking around our studio Christmas tree, it's Bob and Cherry.
Somebody should do an updated version of the 12 Days of Christmas, and instead of the swans a-swimming and the partridge in a pear tree, it should be the 12 unexpected expenses that hit you in December.
It hits everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, the root canal, the leaky roof, the busted heating system.
The
trip to the urgent care.
The dryer. Right?
You know what happened to my niece and her husband? They were, Danny was a victim of some financial scam, and they got $700 out of their bank account.
No.
Which is, like, all the money.
Yeah.
So it was just awful.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know, and this is the new 12 Days of Christmas, and the spokesperson for it is Todd. Last night, I'm cooking dinner, and I glance over, my phone lights up, and it's Todd. And he is on the ground under his son's truck with a jack because... this close to Christmas, it's time for new tires.
It is time for new tires. I was out walking the dog yesterday, and my son is home for the Christmas break, but where he goes to school is in the same city. And since he's, you know, getting ready for baseball in the spring, he's working out and training stuff. So he's going back and forth to the school.
Right.
And so I'm out and I'm having a leisurely walk. I'm taking pictures of the other houses in the neighborhood for the HOA. I'm on my watch.
Your citizen patrol.
I'm my citizen patrol. Bob, you should move into
mine. You're taking pictures not of decorations. You're taking pictures of...
I took a picture of a kid walking a dog with no leash and sent that to my landlord and
he's
pointed
this
out.
Guy now.
I've turned into that guy. By the way, I live in the same neighborhood as one of the guys over at the sports station.
Yeah.
And I saw him raking his leaves one day and I was like, wow, what are you doing here? This is a sidebar. And he's like, oh, I live here. I'm like, me too. I said, I hope I didn't turn your house into HOA. But anyway.
So you are the guy that's in charge of infractions.
I am that cranky neighborhood guy now. So anyway, I'm walking the dog. And my phone rings. And it is rush hour. It is the busiest time of traffic commuting out of where my son goes to school. Of course, it's right downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls and he's like, Dad. I'm like, what? I came out from working out and my tire's flat completely. I said, okay. I said, you have a spare? Yeah. I said, you have AAA? Yeah. I said, well, we'll call AAA. Well, the problem is he has my membership card for AAA, but they won't come because I'm not there. And so he's like, oh, and of course he's recovering from the injury. So now I feel obligated to get in the car.
Oh yeah. You've got to go do it.
It took you about an hour.
It took me an hour. The best thing was it took me a less time going inbound to the city to go get to fix him. So, you know, I said, okay, well, make sure the car is parked on a flat. I end up changing the tire.
Oh, you did it rather than use AAA.
I didn't have, well, by the time I would have gotten there, called AAA, then, you know, AAA is a good service. I love them.
I do too. I have them.
But by the time I would have called them once I got there, I would have had to wait another 45 minutes.
Right.
And we're already in the dead heat of traffic. So I take the tire off and then I have a compressor in my car.
Mm-hmm.
So I pump the tire up while I'm putting the spare on just to see, because I'm like, is there a nail in the tire?
Why do you have a compressor in your
because
car?
If I have a low tire pressure, I just go ahead and, you know,
compress.
I mean, the sensor comes on in my car and it says low tires, you know.
That sensor came on that looks like a little person cheering. That's low tire pressure, right?
It's kind of,
the one that looks like devil horns.
Well, to me, it looks like, see, this is like a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like someone's going, look at you driving. You go, girl.
Yeah, that's called your TPMS light, your tire pressure monitor sensor light.
You thought it was devil horns?
Yeah, it looks like devil horns.
Interesting.
Yeah. So. That's what when I called the dealership, I said, devil horns have just shown up on my dashboard. There's always a pause.
See, I called Billy at Toyota and said, the little cheering symbol is up. And there was a pause and he was like, you need air in your tires.
Now,
anyway,
I will say this. When I did show up, Bob, you would be happy for him, but I did kind of nip it in the bud. He was kind of going a little Wile E. Coyote, Yosemite Sam when I showed up, because he was kicking stuff and yelling.
Right.
And he
was mad?
And, yeah, because he was mad because of flat tire, because it kind of screwed up the rest of his day. And I said, this is what sucks about being an adult. things like this happen and you can't change it. I said, so why are you going to be pissed at the situation? Is that going to change anything in the situation? He said, no. I said, then stop. I said, just realize that the situation's bad and change the tire. There's nothing you can do about it.
That's good parenting. But, you know, I can remember being younger and older than him and just getting so ticked off that my day was ruined with something.
But there's
like
nothing
that.
There's nothing you can do.
By younger, you mean 2 weeks younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly.
So we changed the tire.
You got me.
And I, you know, I had him put the jack away and crank up, you know, because his spare tire is underneath the bed of his truck. So he had to crank that down. That we had to hook the tire up and all that. And so I looked at him at the end and I said, well, you've now officially become an adult for the holiday season, and you know what that means. And he said, no, what does that mean? I said, well, that means you're getting a AAA membership and a compressor for your truck.
Whoa,
Merry
whoa, Gray.
Christmas, Gray.
You know what? I have to say, for parents listening, especially parents with kids going to college someplace else, a AAA membership is, I know this just sounds so boring, but I got it for Hampton and for my wife and for Madison.
Nothing like
you can get a family
ho,
one.
Oh, Grayson, because that's not what was on his list, I'm guessing.
Oh, no.
No, not at all.
Something from H&M or Big Sporting Goods or something like that.
Right. Well, good for you. That's great.
So that would be like the seventh day of Christmas.
Yeah.
The compressor and the AAA membership. It's Bob and Sherry.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature.
On the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
So we were just talking with Todd about Grayson's tire and... This is the time of the year when all of that stuff happens. I know it happens the rest of the year, but it really seems to land on you in December.
It magnifies itself. The problem magnifies in December.
Because you don't have whatever extra money you have, you allocate it to Christmas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the other day, I'm getting ready to go to work, and it's super early, and Kev has the TV on, and I walk out into the living room just in time to catch a commercial for a heating and air company, and give your family something they really want this year, the gift of comfort. And it's a dad and two kids, and they're on the couch in their house, and they have like hats on and sweaters, and they're wrapped in blankets, and their teeth are chattering, and they're trying to watch TV.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, I mean, anyone that's lived without heat or your heat goes out, because your heat only goes out on the coldest, most miserable night of the year, knows that that would be what you would want more than anything. But as a parent, that is a hard sell to the kids.
It is. This year, we're getting a brand new HVAC system.
Kids, I'm giving y'all the gift of comfort, but I wanted a Barbie Jeep. Yeah. Well, not this year.
I know. It is. There's something about this time of the year that there's going to be something that comes up. Because you're right. I have allocated X amount of money here and there and everywhere. And the brand new dishwasher, which I love, that we put in about 6 months ago, doesn't work.
How can that be? It's brand new.
What is it about dishwashers? Why are they complicated things?
Now, does it not work, or is it giving you an error code?
No, it's not giving me an error code. First of all, you open up the dishwasher, and you look down on the little panel. And it's got 20 different things. Extended dry, delayed dry, two-hour delayed dry, quick dry. All of these things you've got to get right. And then you hit start, right? And then, supposedly, the little cup where you put the detergent is going to somehow magically open at the right time. Well, in mine, it does not. And so the dishes get sprayed with water.
But no
soap. And that's it. And then you try to do it again. Well, this time it opens too early and is spilled all over the dishwasher, and it's not washing. It's just a pain in the neck. So now you've got to get a guy. I'm under warranty, but you've got to get a guy that's going to come out there at this time of the year. And that's a pain because they don't have the same hours.
Well, I will tell you kind of a Christmas miracle story along these lines. So when my big brother and his wife were first married, they both were working. She was working as a bartender and at a grocery store during the day.
Right.
He had a day job working with a vending machine company, and he was working as a bouncer at night. They had two little kids. They lived in a rented house outside Philly, and winters are tough up there.
They are.
They're tough. Yeah. I mean, it's not Montana, you know, or Idaho, but winters are tough. And their house was heated with oil.
Mm-hmm.
And So, you know, you'll hear people say, like, your dad will say, oil heat is great. It's a very warm heat. It is, but the tank has to stay full.
Right.
So they, it's Christmas time, and they are scrambling to make Christmas happen for the kids and for each other. And they're barely making enough money to keep the lights turned on. And I'm babysitting the two kids so that they can both work their night shift at the bar the night, Christmas Eve night. So they can get one last bit of money. And then when the bars close, they're going to go to a 24-hour Kmart and finish out Christmas for the kids.
Right.
And the house is cold, and it's getting colder and colder.
Oh, man.
And they're out of oil. And they had let it get down that low because they couldn't afford to pay for the shipment.
Yep.
So they call the oil delivery company, and they're like, we don't, you know, we're not coming out this late on Christmas Eve. We're just not doing it. And so my sister-in-law and my brother are like, we have little kids, you know, we'll pay extra. They get a call back. One of the guys that worked there said, I can't let a family be cold on Christmas. And he got in the truck and drove out off the clock.
And he made the delivery.
And he made the delivery off the clock.
Yeah,
and they
that's
had
good.
Warm Christmas morning.
That makes you feel good about humanity.
There are good people out there. There are.
Someone you love has heart disease, asthma, or cancer. You can't afford to get the flu. Watch for signs of fever and use the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the leading thermometer used in hospitals. Here's Bob and Sherry.
We are right here, and we have one of our listeners with us right now, whose name is Becky. Hi, Becky.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great.
We want to hear about your family Christmas tradition.
Yeah.
So I started this when my daughter was 2 years old, that I have two kids now. I only let them open one present an hour.
One present an hour on Christmas morning, I guess, right?
So Christmas lasts a while.
Yeah.
It's all day. But, you know, when I was growing up, like, you know, we just tore open presents and it was done in 30 minutes and then no one saw, you know, what anyone got, and some stuff didn't even get out of the box. And so I let them open one present an hour, and they have to play with that present for an hour.
I think this is good.
I think this is great.
Yeah.
Because you're right. There's that explosion, and the kids are just tearing into it.
Yeah.
They rip the paper off. They throw the box aside, reach for the next one.
Exactly. I know it. Now, if you have a family of six kids, you know, Christmas goes until, you know, the 4th
New
of July.
Year's, yeah.
You know, but in your case, that's a very good idea. What do you all think about this? I read about a family, and every year they do, I think it's four things. Yeah, the children get a gift that they want. They get a gift that is educational or something they need. They get clothing, and they get, I forget what the other one is, but there's always a theme of three or four things. So they can choose the fun thing. They can say, I want an Xbox or something like that. But the next one has to be education. Oh, the fourth one is a book. You have to have a book or a magazine.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
The other thing that that I do, I mean, my kids get to open, you know, we do that for everyone's, like all their presents, not just from me, but I only get them three presents, and I did that. One of my friends had this idea where she said, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. So
there you go. And that's what every kid wants to hear.
It's just not Christmas till mom says that.
And when she says it, it sinks right in for most kids. They go, you know, I've never looked at it that way, but she's right.
Right you are, old woman.
It's kind of tough to compare a kid to, you know, Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, but Max, as a Catholic school survivor, we know that that's what you get from a very early age.
I don't think you can start guilt too early.
I mean, I can remember being really, really little.
Uh-huh.
And a kid, you know, like a kid would fall down and get hurt at recess. And sister would say, you should offer that suffering up to the Lord because they put him on a cross. And you're there with you're six with a skinned knee, and you're having to get, it's a good thing, it's perspective, you know, you get some perspective at six.
I would screw up in school, and my mother would say, so we'd get up early, and so before school, I had to go sit in church, the empty church. And she said, now, mister, I want you to look up at that crucifix and what he did, and I want you to think about what you're not doing in school. And I got to tell you,
it's a lot. It's a lot.
That's quite a heavy lift. That is a heavy lift. Another heavy lift. I remember being in middle school, and we had some sort of a lesson with a nun. And sister said, she didn't even exactly say it out loud, but the inference was, boys, if you even think about that, that is a sin that will be with you for eternity.
And then it's all you can think about. As soon as someone tells you don't think about it.
That's all I could think about.
Anyway,
I was 14.
Listen, you want to see a nun go haywire? Our elementary school and parish did live Stations of the Cross every Easter. And it's a beautiful thing. If you've never been to a live Stations of the Cross, it's actually very moving and very beautiful. Here's what you don't want to do. Now, these are middle schoolers enacting the Passion of Christ, right?
Right.
Middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. We would have rehearsal every day for live Stations of the Cross. Middle schoolers, it's so hard to behave.
Right.
Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to be caught by nuns misbehaving when you're actually carrying the cross up the hill.
You don't want that.
Lord.
You do not want to have any sort of mirth.
And the rehearsal would be in the church. Right. And there would always be a certain amount of poking and grab-assing and all that.
Yeah.
And the nuns would go absolutely nuts, Becky. They would go absolutely nuts. You think good enough for Jesus was harsh.
But, you know, these are women who gave up a lot.
This is their thing, and it's a church, and it's very solemn.
Yeah.
But you're asking a lot of middle schoolers.
You are. Well, Becky, that's great. I hope your children have a very, very wonderful Christmas. They're going to have a long one, and that's good.
That's good, because they're going to appreciate it.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Well, Becky, give Becky the jingle stick.
I'm going to give you the jingle stick. There you go.
And Becky, from all of us at the Bob and Cherry Show, happy Honda days.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. One of those nuns is twitching right now somewhere, right?
We've got morons in the news straight ahead.
We've got them.
Dim-witted individuals.
Simple people.
With Bob and Sherry.
You're a moron.
It's morons in the news.
A few days ago, a 32-year-old guy named Cabian Coleman broke into somebody's house in Sparta, Wisconsin. He ended up hiding in their closet. And the people who lived in the house realized he was in there because their dogs would not stop barking at the closet. When they tried to open the closet, he held it shut. But he was trapped, so he decided his best chance was to pretend he was Santa. So through the closet door,
good plan.
I thought so. Through the closet door, they heard, ho, ho, ho. He told them not to open the door or it would ruin their Christmas surprise. Well, while he was ho, ho, hoing, they were calling 911. He left the closet. He figured what was going on. He stole a few things from their garage, and then he broke into a neighbor's garage. So this guy is obviously high as a kite. They tracked him down, and he has been arrested. What? I guess drugs are really amazing that
and
you think.
And so much stronger than they used to be.
I'm going to pretend I'm Santa.
Hey, what other play did he have?
I know.
Right? At least he's a legend. All right, we have another epic forehead tattoo. That's, I think, the second or third one this week. This comes out of Ohio. This man, his name is Douglas Perry Christopher, and he's wanted on a warrant for failing to provide law enforcement with his current address. He was convicted of sexual battery back in 2010. He spent a couple of years in state prison. Because he's a registered sex offender, he's got to register with police every 90 days for the rest of his life.
Right.
He did not register, but he's hard to miss because he has an enormous forehead tattoo.
Uh-huh.
It's a marijuana leaf with the words pothead next to it.
That is awesome.
So if you see pothead, please let the police in Ohio know about it. And if you'd like to see pothead for your own self, text the word moron to 888-262-7437.
Don't you think it would
we'll
be
send
so,
it right to your phone.
It would be just absolutely tiring after a couple of days of people staring at your head all the time or asking you about it.
You would think.
Or grabbing their kids and running away.
You would think. Although, now, I might ask about pothead, but the guy that had 666 tattooed backwards on his head the other day.
Yeah, right.
If you've got 666 on your head, I'm not talking to you.
No, that's exactly right. There's a 43-year-old guy whose name is Hector, and he lives in northern Brazil. And his 60-year-old mother, Maria, recently failed her driving test 3 times. So, last week, Hector dressed up as his mom and took her driving test for her. He actually pulled off the wig, the makeup, and the painted nails, and also the floral print blouse and skirt. That went pretty well, but he was not able to fool the staff because of the way he was walking in high heels. His scam got blown up by the driving instructor finally, and they called the police. He has been arrested for fraud.
And in Tennessee, a man named Samphone Temiraj is in jail after state cops found him with more than 80 pounds of pot disguised as Christmas gifts. Officers and a canine dog couldn't help but smell the 80 pounds of marijuana coming from three bags of gifts that Samphone Temiraj was picking up at the Nashville airport. They watched him put the bags on a cart. He allowed the officers to search the bags. Each Christmas gift was filled with a vacuum-sealed bag of weed to the tune of 80 pounds. He brought it to Nashville from Seattle, where recreational marijuana is legal, but it's not legal in Tennessee.
No, and you can't transport it. Right?
And a police dog that's trained to smell pot,
they're going to find
it. It's going to smell 80 pounds
of
it.
That's a lot. I'll tell you what, he sure does give a lot of gifts, though, doesn't he?
He's a very generous man. Yeah. So once again, text the word moron to 888-262-7437. We'll send today's pothead moron of the day straight to your phone. Coming up on the show today, we have Max's most depressing country Christmas songs. That's going to be good. And the People's Movie Critic reviewing your favorite Hallmark Christmas movies. It's all coming up in the next hour right here on Bob and Sherry. Hey, it's Sherry from the Bob and Sherry Show. First, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate you. You're the reason that we do it and the reason that we're able to keep doing it. And I just want to mention that if you hear political advertising of any kind, any campaign, any race, any party, adjacent to any Bob and Sherry Show podcast, please know that we did not approve that advertising. We did not accept that advertising. We are not compensated for it. In fact, we have asked every streaming platform there is to exclude our programs from all political messaging. Why? Because political messaging makes people furious, and we're trying really hard to have the Bob and Sherry Show be a politics-free island. So please know, if you hear it, you're hearing it at our protest. We don't want it there. We're trying to have it removed. Thank you so much for your patience. Let's get back to the show.
The Off-Air Podcast, the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. Download on the free Bob and Sherry app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Bob and Sherry.
Max has been working very hard on something that he has for all of us now.
What is it?
It is the 8 most depressing country music Christmas songs.
And excellent.
At this time of the year, having Max spending hours and hours listening to sad country music, I don't know. I feel like it's a win. So, Max, where shall we begin on your list?
We shall begin at number eight. This is Robert Earl Keen and Merry Christmas from the Family. Let's listen to some of this.
Mom got drunk and Dad got drunk at a Christmas party. We were drinking champagne punch and homemade eggnog. Little sister brought her new boyfriend. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad.
That is so inappropriate and horrible. Good Lord. Obviously, that was done live.
Max said these are the most depressing country music songs.
It's depressing and it's horrible on top of that. Wow.
And the two identical twins from his second wife, Marinette.
What's number 7, man?
Number 7 is the Everly Brothers' Christmas Eve Can Kill You.
The sound of one man walking through the snow can break your heart. But stopping doesn't help, so on I'll go. And Christmas Eve can kill you when you're trying to hitch your ride to anywhere.
Oh, wow. That surprises me that Don and Phil would do this.
And you didn't know this song?
No.
I feel like I've been walking all my life.
They were so brilliant. I mean, just two of the greatest singers of all time.
says he's busy being Santa Claus tonight.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a pick-me-upper.
Where is the scene where you say, I got to hear the Everly Brothers singing Christmas Can Kill You? Where are you?
This next
You're
one.
Right. What party is that? Right,
I know.
This next one we've actually featured before. This is the great John Prine with Christmas in Prison.
It was Christmas in prison, and the food was real good. We had turkey and pistols carved out of wood. And I dream of her always, even when I don't dream. Her name's on my tongue, and her blood's in my strength. Wait a while, eternity. Oh, my nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rolling, my sweetheart, we're blowing back gone.
Did you ever visit your father at Christmas time in prison?
Yeah, of course.
You did?
Yeah,
what was that? What was that like?
My older brother and I spent an entire Christmas day in prison.
What was that like?
We were all in the visiting room, and there were lots of other families there, and everyone had brought food and snacks, and the corrections officers were playing Christmas music and had on Santa hats.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Was there a different vibe? Or was it just so incredibly sad?
It was, you know what? It was a little bit sad. It wasn't incredibly sad. I'd ask my brother, but he was so absolutely baked. I'm not sure he knew it was Christmas and why we were there. He was so high. But
whatever gets you through the
day,
I guess.
Yeah, well, he could not bear that sober.
Yeah.
I won't say it was the saddest thing ever. I've seen far sadder things.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this next one, we've actually done a version of this that was the original done by the Youngsters, but it was covered by Asleep at the Wheel. This is Christmas in Jail.
Christmas in Jail. Christmas in Jail. Had a little too much to drink. I ain't got no back. Can't make no back. And I'm spending New Year's Eve in the clink.
Asleep at the Wheel can make anything fun.
In the wrong lane, feeling no pain. Suit my car to 75. Ran right into, you can guess who. And they say I'm lucky to be alive.
That's cheerful compared to some of your other choices. Let's pause here. Let's pause here.
And we're really going to get sad.
Oh, man.
With the top four most depressing country music Christmas songs.
It's Bob and Sherry.
A shareable taste of the show. The Fun Size Podcast drops every Thursday on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Oh, dear listener, you have landed at the right place at the right time because our director, Max, has put together the saddest country music Christmas songs of all time. And we are now edging toward number one. Where are we, Max?
Okay, we're at number four. This is Dale Watson, and this song is called You Can Call Me Nick. And it's about a guy who apparently is an immigrant who's been put in jail, but his name is Nick. Get it?
Oh,
another lonesome Christmas Eve down at the Dewdrop Inn. And I had a few too many, and the world began to spin. I woke up in a jail cell with a big pain in my head. And I looked across at my cellmate, and his suit was worn and red. He looked to me for all the world a man down on his luck. His scraggly beard was white as snow, and his boots were caked with dust. He said the cops had picked him up because he looked a little strange. And he couldn't give an address, and he couldn't prove his name. Besides, he'd looked like an immigrant. His skin was dark and tough. He couldn't even name our president. And then if that weren't enough, seems he didn't even have a family, and his friends lived far away. That old judge fined him half a grand or 1 month and a day. His face was old and weathered, but his eyes were bright and quick.
So,
Good Lord, that is horrible. I mean, just who comes up with an idea like this?
So what happens is the writer of the song is basically what he's done is he springs him out of jail, right?
Right, right.
Well, he's Nick, and so for Christmas, he gets a dollar for every child he helped by springing him out of jail.
Wow.
See, and that was...
Oh, that's his reward.
So that's his reward. So it's kind of depressing, but at the same time...
Well, it's kind of ridiculous, too.
Kids gather around. Did you enjoy the Everly Brothers song about how Christmas will kill you? We got one about Santa being in jail.
This next one, everybody knows. It's a holiday classic.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas. I don't want to see my mama.
That's John Denver, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas. I don't want to see my mama cry.
Well, it's, I mean, the words are just so sad, but John Denver's voice just always makes you want to sing along or listen.
I know, doesn't it?
There's something about it. A little bit of a hook going on there. Oh, you know, I bet that's a situation, though, that a lot of families face. I hate to say it, but I bet it is.
The People's Movie Critic.
Yeah, Lamar's father. Yeah, that's
right. But you're right. There's something about his voice.
It's just uplifting.
Yeah. You're right. You just want to sway and kind of sing along.
Please.
This next one, until I started doing this, I had never heard of this. This is Loretta Lynn with To Heck With Old Santa Claus.
To Heck With Old Santa Claus.
What's the motivation behind this?
This was around the time she did Fist City.
Okay. she's just ticked off at Christmas time.
She's ticked off.
Yeah, yeah. You know, with that voice, though, I could listen to her sing anything. All right.
So this next song is from Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Dolly Parton doing Hard Candy Christmas.
Maybe I'll lose some weight. Maybe I'll clear my junk. Maybe I'll just get drunk on apple wine. Me, I'll be just fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow.
This is the saddest one.
It is.
For me.
I'm going to just...
That's the saddest one.
I can't.
Hard candy Christmas.
I'd rather have Christmas in person.
All right, what's number one?
That is number one.
That was number one?
Yeah.
That was it.
What tops that?
Well, that's the right choice, I'll tell you that. I know. It's a combination of her wonderful voice and those words.
But it's, you know, if you don't listen terribly close to it, it's like, hey, it's a hard candy Christmas.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But then when you listen closely to the words, it's like, oh, God, this is so sad.
If you're only listening to the melody, Please, Daddy, Don't Get Drunk for Christmas is a total.
Or as the Everly Brothers told us, but Christmas Eve can kill you.
That's direct. That's a direct sort of lyric.
Straight ahead. Dry those tears. Blow that nose, because straight ahead, the People's Movie Critic is here, and he is reviewing some of your favorite Hallmark Christmas movies.
Get Lamar's review sent right to your phone. Text MOVIE to 888-BOB-SHARE.
The People's Movie Critic lit a cinnamon-scented candle, and he got some Swiss Miss and an Afghan crocheted by his late mama. And curled up on the love seat to watch A Christmas Detour on the Hallmark Movie Channel. Welcome, People's Movie Critic.
Hey, I'm just glad to be here. You know, I wanted to do the Hallmark Christmas movie, and so I scanned all the descriptions, and so I came up with A Christmas Detour because it included airports, which is a staple of this kind of movie. And the movie stars Candace Cameron Bure from Full House. She plays Paige Summerland, a writer for a bride's magazine, and she has wrote an article in this magazine, 150 Things to Look For in Your Soulmate. and she has found a man that checks off all but one of the boxes. She got engaged to him, and now she's flying to New York to meet his parents for the very first time so they can plan their wedding. Now, I'll not be boring you with the details of the other actors in this movie because, one, you would not recognize them anyway, since the only part they've ever had was like a murder victim face down on the floor, or waitress number one, number two, or number three. You know what I'm saying?
That's so true.
And B, because you will never see them again. This is where they go to die. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I know.
And so we have a ridiculously handsome guy, here too to be known as RHG. He plays Dylan Smith. And he's a man that manages an airport bar, and he has not been home for Christmas for 4 years. And it's due to a broken heart.
Oh.
So I decided right then, I started back and I started the movie up, and I've got a timer on the thing, and I decided to see how long it would take for me to totally know Paige's story and what she was going to be like and exactly what was going to happen, you know, regarding her engagement. As soon as I knew that, I hit the pause button, and it was at the 2-minute mark. So at 2 minutes, she's give you every bit of information you need to know about what's fixing to happen. And then I hit it at the 3-minute mark for Dylan, because at that point, you know exactly what's going to happen. So when we get to the airport, we meet the disgruntled married couple who show us the bad side of marriage.
Oh.
And they will be referred to as DMC. And on the plane, Paige and Dylan have seats together. How could this happen? And while they're sitting together, she vomits out the sugary sweet details of her entire life in about 46 seconds. And of course, Dylan manages to make her mad immediately. And she is such a self-absorbed, and he feels like she's a little bit obnoxious and whatever. But lo and behold, later in the flight, as he's returning from the bathroom, he discovers that as she's sleeping in her seat with the little mask on, she is so cute. So now we see the tide is beginning to change. So, of course, all the airports in New York are closed, so they're forced to land in Buffalo. And here's where the fantasy kicks in. They are immediately and cheerfully given hotel rooms and food vouchers and shuttled to a really nice hotel close to the airport with not one strip club in sight, okay?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that's impossible also. Now, as luck would have it, Paige and Dylan have adjoining rooms. And, of course, there's a reason invented that causes her to have to bang on that adjoining door where we get to see Dylan right after a fresh shower. Because that would be wasted not to be able to do that. So when they can't get out of the Buffalo airport, Dylan manages to rent a four-wheel drive SUV, and he offers to drive Paige along with DMC to New York. So they all pile up in the car. And during all of this, we're given glimpses of the fiancé and his family so that we know just what rich, stuck-up, controlling, condescending, terrible people they are. We will refer to them as RSOBs, okay?
Okay.
Now, on the way to New York, they get stuck in a Christmas-themed town that is every bit as corny as you could possibly imagine. And it turns out that the box that was not checked off on Paige's list was must have a great sense of humor. And wouldn't you know it, Dylan is able to make her laugh, this cute, snorty laugh that is endearing to everybody but the RSOBs. Okay? Now, Paige decides to sneak away, and she manages to catch a ride with a strange truck driver that only in a Hallmark movie turns out not to be a serial killer, and he gets her to her destination. And you know how the meeting with the SOBs go. So the DMC rekindles their true love, and they give RHG the reason he needs to go save Paige. Now listen. There is nothing but romantic drivel based around Christmas time with beautiful people, kindergarten simple plots, and happy endings so sweet you could lose a big toe, okay? Now, and sadly, I have to say, I enjoyed every minute of this movie. I'm planning on watching as many of these idiotic movies that I have time for, and I'm going to record the rest on the DVR, because this, my friends, is the romantic, foolish version of Walker, Texas Ranger, and by God, I'm in. I'm in.
The saddest.
I laughed. It was stupid. It's just, I understand it now. It's an addiction.
The saddest.
I have just tasted part. Crack cocaine.
Listen to me. The saddest part. And my eyes are welling up. A man actually, by himself, without seeing his family, had to manage an airport bar on Christmas. That is the saddest thing that I've heard in years.
It's sad.
Oh.
But you know what? Next year on the Hallmark Channel, he'll be the star of the movie, and he'll find true love in that bar.
Yeah.
When a woman who is cynical and doesn't believe in Christmas or family right. gets stranded overnight in the airport,
right.
and the two of them end up burying their souls and discovering the true meaning of the season.
But you know, there's a lot of truth in Christmas Detour, because most women I know, if they're trying to get home, they jump in with a truck driver in a minute.
And that one, my movie is going to be called Noelle Layover. And her name is Noelle, and she was named for Christmas, and she hates it anyway. How many buds for Christmas Detour, Lamar?
Listen, I started off, I was going to give it one, but after I watched it, hell, I'm giving it five. Unless you're a Scrooge. I'm telling you, you stay here, you get bought into it. You can just get bought into it. I couldn't help it.
All right, there it is, the softer side of the People's Movie Critic.
Sit tight, People's Movie Critic. We're going to come back with Lamar and one of his favorite Christmas memories. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get Lamar's review sent right to your phone. Text MOVIE to 888-BOB-SHERRY.
Well, Bob and Sherry listeners are being treated this year to a special thing. We have asked some of our very good friends to come in and tell us about their Christmas remembrances. And Lamar is up right now. So which one is it, Lamar?
Well, this one doesn't involve a drunk dad or anything like that. This has been in the last few years. I'm always trying to come up with a surprise for my kids. I want it to be something that they don't expect and that it's going to be pretty cool. So when they came over, I set the ground rules. We're going to open one present every hour for the next few hours, okay? You got to wait an hour between presents. So the first one I gave them was binoculars, and they don't know what in the world this is. They can't figure out what the deal with binoculars are. So we wait an hour, and we open up the second present, and I'd gotten them round-trip tickets to London.
Wow.
So now they've got tickets to London, and they've got binoculars, and they're still trying to figure out what are we going to, because we'll be doing sightseeing in London and all that kind of stuff. So when the next hour passes, we open up the main tickets, which will be way better for them than the trip, is tickets to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, because that was their favorite band. All uh-huh. three of them, they just loved them. That was their favorite band, and they weren't touring America, so we're going over there to see them. And so they were so excited, and, they spent all afternoon calling everybody going, "What'd you get for Christmas?" So that they could get them to say, "What did you get for Christmas?" So that they could say what they got for Christmas. But, so anyway, and it was great. It was a wonderful surprise. It was great. So we take the trip, and we get over there, and we're doing some sightseeing, and we see some wonderful things, and it's fantastic. And so comes time, we're going to fly to Manchester, which is where they were playing, and then we'll stay in Manchester for a day and then come back and finish, sightseeing. So we get on the subway, and we get about, we get a good ways on our way to Manchester, and I realize I don't have the tickets. I have the plane tickets.
Oh, no.
This is not good. I'm an idiot. I've done this so many times. So we stop. I put them on a bench. And I say, "You sit at this bench. Don't you move. I'm coming back." I write down what stop it is. I go back to the hotel. I run it. It's like crazy. I get back. I pick them up. We get to the airport. I get there. And this is during around the 9/11 situation. And we were 30 minutes late. The flight still had time, but we couldn't check our baggage in time, and they wouldn't allow you on the plane. So there I'm standing, and I said, what can I do with these tickets? And they said, "Well, really nothing, they're no good." And so I had to rebuy the tickets to get to Manchester. It was $1,000. I'd already bought these tickets once, so the second time I buy them, it was $1,000.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh,
Lamar.
Man. That was a pivotal moment for me, because I was thinking, and my kids are just sitting there, they're not saying a word, because they know that I'm just about to explode. But in my head, I'm going, okay, what are you going to do? It's done. What's done's done. Do not ruin this.
Don't ruin the whole thing for $1,000. I mean, that's a lot of money, but nonetheless, you pulled it together.
What we're going to do, I said, we're going straight to the bar. Y'all just sit still. I got to drink. Hey. We had a great time. Yeah. I tell you what, I try to keep my hands on tickets now from now on.
I know.
It was a great Christmas. And
you'll never do that again. You'll never leave them. Once you've done that, for the rest of your life, you're so focused on that. I'm the same way.
That's such great. A cool thing, Lamar, because you gave them an experience that they will talk about for the rest of their lives.
And that $1,000, as you look back on it, you know, it's money, but still the experience overweighs the loss.
Use the Talk Back feature on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
We are so excited to welcome back to the show one of our very, very most favoritest people, country music superstar, best-selling author, humanitarian, and sexiest man alive, Jimmy Wayne. Welcome to the show, Jimmy. How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you on.
We wanted to talk to you. You just had the coolest honor of being the Grand Marshal of your hometown Christmas parade. But before we get to that, something a lot of people don't know about you is that you, before you became all of the things I just mentioned, you actually worked as a guard in a corrections facility.
I sure did. I worked in a state prison 4 years before I moved to Nashville. And I remember something very special, if you will, that happened in prison on Christmas Eve. A fellow employee was scheduled to work Christmas Eve, and he's an older gentleman. He was actually a granddad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Christmas Eve off. Well, I didn't have a family. I didn't have, you know, wife and kids, and really didn't have anyone to wake up to Christmas morning. And I thought, maybe I'll volunteer to work for him. And I just made this up. I just like, man, I'll just do it for you. And I work for him, and maybe somewhere down the road when I need an extra day in Nashville, because I was making trips back and forth to Nashville trying to make it in the business, maybe he'll work one of those days for me.
Yeah.
So it was an even trade, I thought. And of course he was just so happy. He said, thank you so much for that, man. I get to be with I can stay home on Christmas Eve and wake up on time and be with my family and grandkids and open presents.
That's great.
Well, I didn't expect anything out of that. I went to work that night. It was a third shift spot. And then I showed up at the prison, and typically and normally a prison is relatively loud. Convicts are walking around, they're playing cards, they're watching TV, they're doing push-ups, they're doing what you do in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on Christmas Eve, it is very, very quiet.
Really?
Yes, it's shut down almost. No one's moving around, no one's watching TV, and it's because they want to be home with their families, and they're so depressed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. So they spend time mopping the floors, and they'll spend more time mopping floors than they usually do. I mean, everything is spotless in a prison on Christmas Eve. I mean, they try to burn up the time by keeping busy.
Yeah,
so
keep
their mind off their family or whatever.
Right.
So I check in, I clock in, and the sergeant on duty, we do a shift briefing. He says, it's Christmas Eve. It's a very dangerous time of year. Stay vigilant. Keep your eyes open, your ears open. And, of course, I had A dorm, A block. And A block was where the death row convicts were.
Mm.
Had been commuted to life, and of course they move on down. Well, I had A block and B block, and I'm standing, you know, I'm walking up and down this really shiny corridor, and around 11 o'clock the lights go out, so you have to go up to this breaker box, turn the lights off, and it does make that noise like you would think sounds like in a prison, like
wow.
And as soon as those lights go off, then the night lights come on, and they have a humming sound, like a light does, a street light outside. So I walk down, about 12 o'clock at night, and I walk down to the middle of this corridor, and I'm standing there, and it's shaped like an X. So I'm standing in the middle of the X. I'm looking down A dorm, B dorm, and C and D dorm. About, I don't know, 12:30, I heard this humming, and I thought, man, I wonder if one of those night lights is going to go out. But I continue to stand there, and then I heard And I realized that's someone singing, someone's humming. And the sergeant walked out of his office because it was echoing down the prison hallway. And obviously he could hear it from his office. And this voice was so big and strong. And it was kind of like an old, you know, black gospel voice, like a James Cleveland sounding right. gospel singer, one of those old school guys.
Right.
And I realized it was coming from A dorm, where the death row lifers and those guys were. And I walked over closer, and I saw this convict laying in his bunk. He was a big fella. And he said, "Holy night." I mean, just gargling in his voice. And then I just stood there. The sergeant walked down. He says, you know, all you could hear was those big keys on his ring, key ring. And he said, "Don't say anything. Don't stop it." And so we stood there, and we listened to this. All is come, all. And he just sang this loud rendition of Holy Night from the cell. And I looked around, and I saw grown men in their beds, in their bunks, crying. And some of them pulled a sheet over their head, and they just wept. And when he got to the last part, he just sang it. He just belted out this, "Sleep in heavenly peace." And I mean, just it rumbled throughout the entire prison. And it just, it was so beautiful and loud, and just, it was just anointed. And it was like, I felt like I walked into that situation not expecting a gift, you know.
Yeah.
But I got probably one of the greatest gifts that Christmas by experiencing that man singing, and what I felt like, I'm a spiritual person, I felt like it was the Holy Spirit. I felt like I received that night, and that's what God gave me in return of letting that man be home with his family.
Jimmy, what a great story. And there wasn't any hooting or hollering. They gave him center stage.
It was quiet as a quiet before a riot.
Yep.
And that's no joke.
Yep.
No one applauded. He hit that last note. Sleep in heaven. I mean, I can't even do it justice.
That is one of the prettiest, most beautiful stories around this time of the year I've ever heard.
And I bet that you think of that every single Christmas. Hey, sit tight,
Hang on,
Jimmy.
Jim.
We want
right
to talk to you about. We want to talk to you about how thrilling it was to come back to your hometown.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature on the free Bob and Sherry app, and leave us a message.
Country music star Jimmy Wayne is with us right now, and he just told us a story about when he was trying to make it in Nashville. He was working as a prison guard, and he took over a shift on Christmas Eve, and a man on death row sang Oh Holy Night, and it brought people in the prison to their knees and tears. And Jimmy, I'll tell you what, my father was in World War II, and he didn't tell me very many stories, but he told me about being in France in the Battle of the Bulge, and he's in a bar with American soldiers, and at midnight on Christmas Eve, a soldier did that.
Wow.
And he said, whew, there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Yeah, I bet.
Just so emotional. That was a great, great story. Now, let's talk about something that's happy. You were the Grand Marshal in your hometown for the Christmas parade.
I was. I went home and I was born in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Of course, I grew up in all the counties in the area.
Yeah.
Moved around quite a bit, but I was asked to be the Grand Marshal this year, and one of the greatest parts of this, if you will, experiences,
right,
was having my niece ride with me in the carriage.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why is because my sister and my brother-in-law adopted her when she was three. She had already been in three foster homes, and they were going to send her back to the system, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, it's a very long story, but I'll make it very short. I used to go home and perform concerts to help a local organization in that community raise funds so they could keep their doors on, lights on and doors open. And this little girl would always dance in front of the stage, and she'd hold a pink guitar. And then finally, by the fourth concert, I was like, who is this little girl? She's at every show, and she's stealing the show. And, of course, the crowd laughed. And my sister called me, and she says, you know that little girl that was in front of the stage, you know, they're going to send her back to the system. And I was like, well, what are you going to do about it? She says, I'm going to get her. I'm going to adopt her.
Oh.
And she did. She adopted this kid from one of my concerts.
Isn't that great?
It's amazing. And there she is riding with me through the parade. And I couldn't be more happy because he gave her a chance for her friends at school to see her. You know.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
with you on the float. That's just wonderful.
That's the best story,
Jimmy. We could talk to you all day long. Jimmy, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. It sounds like you already are.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Take care. That's Jimmy's song, Paper Angels. Once upon a time, he and his sister, that's how they got Christmas presents.
Yep.
It was from the Salvation Army Paper Angels tree. It's Jimmy Wayne.
Once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
I cannot believe this.
This is very disappointing. It happened in Wisconsin. A Jefferson County sheriff's deputy named Janelle Garrick, who joined the sheriff's office in 2016. So she's not been a deputy for very long, is now on the other side of the cell door. Because she's accused with combing local obituaries and then going to the home of the grieving while they were at funeral services and robbing them blind.
Are you kidding? She was an officer?
She was a deputy, yep. She's 29 years old.
How long was she doing this? Do they know?
Well, she's only been a deputy for 3.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
She was charged with felony burglary. So she would go through the obituaries, look at the, you know, figure out like, well, here's the deceased, here are the next of kin, and then go rob their houses. And
It would be posted in like a paper when the service was.
Yep. Know? And in at least one occasion when she was confronted removing merchandise property, she told the neighbors, oh, yeah, I bought this on Facebook Marketplace. I'm just picking it up.
Do you think somebody like that who would go and make relatives who are already grieving feel even worse, do you think that person is born that way, that she is a sociopath?
Yeah.
She doesn't even reflect for a moment that these people are probably, if they're definitely sad, and they could be just, you know.
A dazzling
just out
lack
of, their
of
minds.
Empathy.
Yeah.
And it's particularly frightening because this is someone who's in a job where she's sworn to protect and serve.
Yeah.
There's something, like, it's always gross and wrong to steal, but there's something extra awful about
doing something like this,
about what our girl here is doing.
Yeah, and I think the people who hired her at the police department, and it could have been, you know, a supermarket, you don't know what is in somebody's heart like that.
You don't know.
You can't get that.
You and I worked with an individual or two who stole money that had been raised for a charity.
For a charity, yeah, that's right.
So, and they didn't seem to have any qualms about doing it, no conscience whatsoever.
Oh, we've worked for people who just had absolutely no problem firing someone. It wouldn't bother them. They'd go to lunch.
And firing someone who didn't deserve to be fired.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because, you know, and by the way, the people that stole from the charity did not get fired.
Yeah.
But an employee who'd been here her entire life got bounced out.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So I'm going to post up former Jefferson County Sheriff's Deputy Janelle Garrick. I'll post her up on our Facebook so you can check that out. I want to completely shift gears because I learned something so cool. And this is actually really helpful and interesting if you can make it work for you. It turns out that if you have the flu or a cold, it's extremely rare that you can catch the other one. So, for example, if you have a cold and Hampton has the flu,
right,
you don't have to avoid Hampton because you can't catch the flu. You've already got a cold. And it comes down to...
They cancel each other out?
They don't cancel each other out, but it works out like this. Viruses are focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is replicating and surviving.
Right.
That's why we can't cure the common cold, because every common cold, the virus changes because it wants to survive. Mm-hmm. So if you have the cold and somebody else has the flu, It turns out that the viruses, like one or the other, they're competing for resources inside your body, and they edge each other out. Like they don't. There's not room for both of them. I don't know an easier way to say it.
So if Hampton got the flu, what I should do is set up a career day where I speak
at a school,
at an elementary school.
Yeah.
And just and pick up every one of the kids.
Here's how unlikely it is. If you have a cold and you encounter somebody with the flu, only 8% of people in that situation will also get the flu. It's the only time. I wanted to bring this up because, like, we're all going to be locked in relatives' houses pretty soon for the holidays.
Right.
It's probably already happening. And if your family's like my family, you have a brother whose kids will all have the intestinal flu by Christmas night.
Right.
And they will be infecting everyone in sight. What you want to do is show up for Christmas with a wicked bad cold.
You know, I wouldn't mind the wicked bad cold, although I hate getting colds, but the flu is something else. I can still, I've only had it, I think, once, and it was a long time ago. And I think it was the longest that I was out of work, which was 2 or 3 days.
I had the flu so severely before I had children that I was taken to the ER. My fever was so high for an adult.
Did you get the flu shot this year?
I get the flu shot every year.
Me too.
But here's the thing that's unfair for me. Like, if everybody else has an intestinal flu and loses 7 pounds, I will get the same flu as you, but it'll be a respiratory flu, and I'll end up, and you know this is true, I'll end up with walking pneumonia.
It's true.
Like, there is, my body is going, I'm hanging on to every bit of this. You take that intestinal flu somewhere else. I never get that kind of flu.
I remember a couple of years ago, you had it, and it carried on for a couple of months.
Well, first I got a cold, and then I got bronchitis, and then I got pneumonia.
Welcome to Flu Talk, folks.
And I was sick from February to May.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like going and getting breathing treatments. It was awful. I was so sick.
Make sure you use the Exergen Temporal Thermometer.
And Clorox wiped the bejeebers out of everything. But just remember that. So if you're walking around in the world today with a cold and you're miserable, that cold is probably protecting you against worse things. Who knew, right?
I know, that's
cool.
Right. I've become almost out of my mind trying to avoid it. Like, I went to a restaurant and I had a pizza yesterday for lunch, so they bring me the silverware. I don't put the napkin in my lap. I put it on the table and put the silverware on the napkin because I don't know who touched that table. That's how bad I'm getting.
It is getting harder for you to go out.
It is. I know.
It is.
I just don't want to get sick.
It is.
I don't want to leave you alone.
I know. I appreciate it. You know what? You just give till it hurts.
No.
Just giving, giving. It's Bob and Sherry.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
Yeah.
Max has a whole little handful of Talk Back messages for us. Here we go.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. Just listening to your podcast about Christmas bonuses. Well, I have a sister who works at a temporary, hopefully full-time job soon, that got a $1.50 an hour raise and a $500 bonus just a couple days ago. So, it really does happen. Just never happened to me like that.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sounds
like she really would like to get that raise
bonus. I've never had and have always wanted a sister, but it sounds like that kind of bitter competition continues all through your life.
All right. What's our next one?
Hi, Bob and Sherry. My name is Christy. I'm calling from Tennessee. I was just listening to the podcast where you were talking about dogs and how much better you would have done if you had a dog in the classroom. Well, my husband is a teacher, and he has a dog that he takes to school with him every single day. And every kid, even the ones that are scared of dogs, love Pepper. They go to the store and they buy her breakfast and they make sure she comes in every morning and they feed her breakfast and then she lays at the front of the classroom or beside my husband's desk and she just is like the school mascot. So anyway, just was going to let you know about that. Thanks.
That is so sweet. I was just reading that 16% of pet owners, mostly dog owners, have taken their dog to work, and 10% have never done anything like that. 10% never bring their dogs to work or let the dog sleep in the bed with them. Just the dog is the dog. I don't get people like that.
Yeah, I'm, you know, well, obviously, I don't
get people. I've known people who would keep their dogs like away from the house, far from the house, in like a little dog house or
something.
Yeah,
that doesn't.
I just don't get that. A lot of times they're hunters and they look at it differently than I do.
I'm the opposite. I'll tell you what I got Sam and Larry Munson and Tiberius and Charles Xavier and Miss Esme for Christmas.
Aren't you worried they're going to hear?
Kev lets them watch TV while I'm at work. They don't listen to the show. Are you ready? No one tell them, okay? It's a pet teepee that's big enough for all of them to go in there together and
have
a nap.
That's cool. Will they do that, though?
Does
it look like a regular teepee?
It's a gray woolen teepee.
Yeah.
And inside is a little cushy bed.
Yeah.
So they go inside and they can take little naps in there. They won't all go in all at the same time, but they'll go in twos. Typically, they snuggle up in pairs.
So you're pretty sure they're going to use it?
Oh, I'm very sure they're going to use it. Yeah.
That's cool. I like that idea.
Now, I don't know why I'm very sure they're going to use it, because they've never used anything else I've bought for them. But this one.
That's why I brought that up.
This one I feel very, very good about. I can't wait for Christmas.
One more.
And Kev goes, well, why don't you just give it to them now? They don't know what day it is.
No.
It's not Christmas. Don't give it to them
That's
now.
Right. Of course not. What's the next one?
Hi, Bob, Sherry, Max, and Todd. So admittedly, I'm a little bit behind on the podcast, but I don't understand how Bob keeps misplacing the jingle stick. It seems like every time he's asked about it, he has it, then he doesn't, then it's nowhere to be found, or it's in the office. Bob, it seems like a fairly large item with many bells, which would be fairly hard to lose, I feel like. But, you know, I'm on your side. I'm really hoping for a Christmas miracle where the jingle stick is present and we can hear it and enjoy it. I know you have fallen in love with the bells and chimes and whistles and Sky Pig, but we all do enjoy the jingle stick.
Someone just said Sky Pig's name. I can't believe it.
She's right, though. How do you lose it? It's a foot and a half long.
I'm going to have a special place to put it.
Oh, I know where.
I won't forget.
Hey, it's Sherry from The Bob and Sherry Show. First, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate you. You're the reason that we do it and the reason that we're able to keep doing it. And I just want to mention that if you hear political advertising of any kind, any campaign, any race, any party, adjacent to any Bob and Sherry Show podcast, please know that we did not approve that advertising. We did not accept that advertising. We are not compensated for it. In fact, we have asked every streaming platform there is to exclude our programs from all political messaging. Why? Because political messaging makes people furious, and we're trying really hard to have the Bob and Sherry Show be a politics-free island. So please know, if you hear it, you're hearing it at our protest. We don't want it there. We're trying to have it removed. Thank you so much for your patience. Let's get back to the show.
You might be ready for cold and flu season, but are your kids? Infants and young children have a good chance of getting the flu. Check for fevers with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Here's Bob and Sherry.
So I have to ask you, and I need an honest answer.
Okay.
I know what one of my gifts is going to be that I'm getting, and I want you to tell me, if people see me using this gift, will they think that I'm either a dork or a bag? And here's what it is. I was looking at a magazine, and there was an umbrella. Somebody stole my nice umbrella. I had a golf umbrella for years, and it just got gone. Somebody stole it. And so I saw this umbrella that it's real round, and it's clear plastic. So you hold it over your head, and you can walk. And it comes down to your shoulder.
Yeah.
It comes down to your shoulders. You're like in this little bubble, and you can see.
I had one of those when I was a little girl.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think? This one's pretty big.
I think you live your life, and you know what? Anybody that makes fun of you is a big stupid head.
Thank you.
Who the hell cares what another man is using as an umbrella? Anybody that has an opinion on that needs a good beating.
I just picture myself coming into the station here like that, and people going, look at this.
You know what? They say that anyway, even when the sun's shining. What do you care what they think about your umbrella?
They're saying that about me? Look at this bag coming into work?
You knew who I'm talking about.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sherry,
okay,
so many times has Bob said the following words? Somebody stole, only to find that later...
You just misplaced
I knew
it.
You were going to say that. I'm prepared to answer that. It's been weeks, and it has not shown up. Somebody stole it. They did.
I was looking at some a couple of very interesting sort of high tech gifts.
Uh-huh.
Tell me what you think.
Okay.
Have you heard of Aftershocks? It's a kind of a wireless headphone, but it doesn't go in your ears. The sound is delivered using vibrations into your cheekbones. So the headphone, it hooks over your ear and doesn't go in your ear. And there's a piece that's right above your ear and a piece that's right beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound waves travel through your bones and it leaves you able to hear, like if you're a walker or a cyclist or runner, you can hear traffic.
That's an interesting
and
idea.
You don't have the things directly in your ears.
But is there clarity in the sound that
they
you're
say,
listening to?
They say, I haven't tried them, but they say that they are amazing.
I would want to know if it affects my hearing long term.
I think it doesn't because it's not in
it's not
your
really,
ears.
It's not busting your eardrums.
Yeah. And then
how much does that cost?
They're probably about $200 would be my guess.
Wow. Okay.
And then the other thing I saw, which I've only seen on this
one. Boy, what would
one...
they say about me if I had that on and I was also using the clear umbrella?
Well, you know what they say about the other guy that works here with the jawbone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They say that and worse.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So this next one, I could never get any of my kids to wear, but I wish I could because it's a bicycle helmet with an airbag in it. So here's how it works. It's called the Hovding 3, and it's expensive. Like, this bad boy is over $300. But you wear, it's a helmet. The rigid part of it actually goes around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
So your head, you know, the wind is blowing through your hair.
Right.
But if you get into a crash, the helmet inflates in 0.1 seconds. They say, the creator says it's 8 times safer than a regular bike helmet, and it envelops your head in an airbag.
Well, you look like an idiot. I mean, it's like you have a giant bonnet on.
But you only look like an idiot if you crash.
If you crash, yeah.
You see the thing that's around the cyclist's neck?
Yeah, that's it.
What do you think?
I think it's good.
I think that that's...
It's a lot of money, but I could see, you know, parents that are really focused on safety for their kids liking that.
And then there was
a guy who bikes all the time.
There was another thing. It's and this we could have given to Landon. You're probably not going to want to really talk about a silent hands-free breast pump, but it's called the LV pump, and it has no wires, and it fits right inside your bra, and you can even link it up to an app. So there it is. You've never pumped, Bob, so you don't know. When I was when Olivia and Carmi were babies, and I was pumping. I would have to leave the studio during the commercials, go down, sit on the floor of our office, hook up the pump, which is like two bottles with what looks like a giant funnel, turn it on and stare off into space while I pumped. How much happier would you have been if I could have just had this bad boy in my bra and I would have been able to sit here and listen?
It would have made my life so much better at that moment. That's life changing for me.
So there you go.
No, that sounds great.
It's very cool.
If it helps a new mom, I think that's fantastic.
That's the LV pump.
Okay.
And then the other one that I saw was also for babies. This is so expensive. I think you only have this if you're a Hollywood superstar. It's called the Snoo Smart Sleeper Baby thing. And it replicates the sensation of being in the womb. So you put your baby in. It looks like a little mid-century modern bassinet. And it rocks the baby, and it shushes the baby, and it automatically responds to the baby if they're unsettled. It keeps your newborn safely on their back, and it is like $1,500. So you know the only person that has it is Kylie Jenner.
I was going to say, that's quite a bit. But, you know, it could be used by a man or a woman, right?
Yeah, because it's just a little bassinet.
Yeah, I love that.
So, yeah.
Maybe if you have a fussy baby, you'll do anything. You'll pay anything.
You'll pay anything to make it stop.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Get Lamar's review sent right to your phone. Text MOVIE to 888-BOB-SHARE.
I know that I can be a little bit of a stickler when it comes to people's appearance in public. I understand. And I accept the fact that we are becoming a much more casual society. But the other day, when I went to the movies with my wife to see Knives Out, it was one of these movie theaters that they don't have anybody at the ticket box office. They have a sign that says, just come in. You know, go to the drink and popcorn fountain. You can buy your tickets there. So in we go, and there's one employee. This is in the afternoon. This is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he's the manager. And the dude is wearing a dirty T-shirt and pajama bottoms. No. Yes, he was.
No, you're pajama. Sure.
Yes. Mary, because I didn't see him at first, she elbowed me and said, check it out. And she's not as bad as I am. She's nowhere near as bad as I am for being offended by people wearing inappropriate clothing publicly. This guy's the manager of the theater, and he's wearing pajamas.
Like flannel pajama bottoms.
Flannel is exactly what they were. Right. Now you tell me, where's the owner?
In a
Montana.
City far
yeah,
away.
Yeah, he's in Montana. I know. Is that just not ridiculous? I mean, and this was a young guy. This guy looked like he was maybe 28, 30 years old.
I'm surprised by that. I mean, there aren't many jobs outside of this one where you could come to work dressed like that.
I know. You actually could with radio, couldn't you?
And we pretty much see it. Yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
We don't come to work dressed like that, but we do see it. So what was he wearing in addition to his pajama bottoms? Did he have on some slippers?
A dirty T-shirt, sandals, and he was festive. He had a Santa hat on. So, I mean, there was quite a bit going on. I forget. There were like trees that were on his flannel pajama bottoms.
So I'll play devil's advocate. It's not a great look. It's not a professional look, but
he had socks on with the sandals, by the way.
But that was probably a relief for you, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I just don't understand how you can say, well, this is a good look for me as I greet the public at the movie theater.
So how did that negatively impact your experience of going to the
movies?
Well,
it didn't. It didn't. I like Knives Out. I had a great time with my wife. You know, we enjoyed it. Movie was a little long, but outside of that, you know, it was fine. I just think, you know, don't give up. Do not give up on how you present yourself to the world.
I think there are people, like, you view it as giving up, and I think there are other people who are like, look, man, it's not a great job. Pay isn't great. I got to deal with the public. I'm going to be comfortable.
No, that's not an excuse.
I think there are a lot of people that just, what you call giving up, they feel like they're just living their authentic best life. Like, why should I have to wear hard, miserable shoes and polyester pants? Like, why should I have to do that?
Because I'm spending, probably the two of us going to the movies, if we buy anything, I'm spending about $30.
Yeah, but
I don't want to look at your dirty shirt and your pajama bottom.
He's not part of what you're buying.
Right. Benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was not scheduled to be in that day. Maybe somebody called in sick and he had the keys and had to open the place.
Yeah.
And at the last minute, maybe he was decorating his house with his kids for Christmas.
And he had to race over there.
I've shown up here at this radio station in a pair of sweatpants and a beat up T-shirt.
That's different. That's
I understand,
different.
But here's the thing. I've never.
The man has pants.
Understand, but
you know what Taterhead has taught us?
Yeah.
What he's eating don't make you fat. I don't understand why you're so offended.
So I just think that, you know, we need to present ourselves in a professional manner.
Let me
ask
you this. While you were sitting in the theater and the lights were out where it was dark and you couldn't see what other people were wearing, did this just irritate the heck out of you?
No. I let that go right away.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I made a note of it so I could talk on the air and, you know.
Because you sound really irritated by it.
I don't want people giving up. I don't want people giving up. They should present themselves professionally.
See, he would probably say to you, I didn't give up. You buckled into the man.
Well, you know, the man pays me.
And he's saying, and the man's paying me in my SpongeBob jammies.
Yeah.
Get the free Bob and Sherry app and instantly get the podcast, the Oddcast, and Bob and Sherry Fun Size.
The majority of married people, and by majority, I mean nearly 85%, say that the key to a good relationship isn't spending all your time together, it's spending time alone also. I mean, do you know any couples, they just never separate. They're like Velcro with each other. That's not really a good idea. You have to carve out some time.
That would drive me crazy.
It would drive me crazy, too. It would drive my wife crazy. Well, who you want to be around me all the time?
No one can have champagne every day, Bob.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Hey, it wouldn't be special then.
Here's the average amount of time that a person needs. 6 hours a week where you're doing your own thing, whatever it is. You don't have that?
Hell no. Are you kidding me? 6 hours a week of doing my own thing. Unless doing my own thing is driving aimlessly in circles to get Karamia places and go to the grocery store.
Would you like to hear what people are doing with their time alone?
Would.
All right. These are married couples, and this is what people prefer to do alone. Watching TV or movies. Reading. Listening to podcasts. Exercising. Enjoying a nice cup of coffee or tea, having a meal alone, going out dancing, shopping, going for a walk, and getting your hair done. I can't tell you how many times I've enjoyed getting my hair done and then gone dancing.
I can't imagine a world in which you or like Kevin or Max or Todd said, listen, I hope you're cool with this, but I'm just going to have a little me time. And it's line dance night at Coyote Joe's.
But first, I'm going to get my hair done so I look good on the floor.
I can't even imagine you guys doing that.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I have learned, since I don't have a lot of, designated downtime, I've learned to use the time I have. Like, if I'm alone in the car, which is 50% of the time once I get a kid dropped off, that's when I'm listening to all my, murdery podcasts and books and stuff. So I do try to do that, but...
My exercising is walking the dog, so that's like an hour and 15 minutes almost every day. And then reading, I like to do that. I don't like anyone to do anything around me while I'm reading. I don't want to hear something on YouTube. She's over there on YouTube, and there's some crazy goat.
Have to have complete silence.
Almost.
Wow.
I just want to read it. Okay. Why do I have to be a part of some crazy goat on YouTube?
Well, can you not read while someone else is in the room?
Yeah. Hushed. Just hush. It's hush time.
You are a lot.
I am not a lot.
You are a lot. You're not a lot. You're a lot. You're the most a lot.
Bounces off of me and goes back to you.
Max and Todd, who's a lot? Does it start with a B and end with a B and have an, oh my God, he's a lot in the middle? Yes, that would be you.
I take care of myself all day long. I don't need somebody holding my hand.
You are, I am not
a lot.
You are a lot.
Listen, I'm the chief house cleaner, dishwasher in my house.
You should back away from the mic when he says that line. I take care of myself and I don't need anybody else to do it because lightning will strike.
Tell me how I'm a lot.
Oh, my God. It would be...
And please don't get into the, I always have to fix your iPhone. You don't know how to do this, blah, blah, blah. All right, so,
How about you tell me how you're a lot since you had that right off the top of your head?
No, that's the only thing that makes me a lot.
You're so specific. No. A lot, everything makes you a lot. You're so specific. You have such specific... things that you're picky about and finicky about.
What, pizza? Are you talking about pizza?
Everything.
You're picky about pizza.
Pasta, seafood, your clothes.
You're the same. What are you talking? Are you kidding me?
You are such a lot.
Hello, pot. Hello, pot.
Such a lot. We're all shaking our heads. You're so much.
You'll miss me someday.
I will.
That's right.
I will. I'll tell people.
You'll miss me a lot.
I'll tell people. I'll tell you, man, he was a lot, but I miss him. I do.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. You know what? That's the attitude. Act like all my Italian aunts with mustaches. That's fine. The Lord will take me soon, and then you'll be sorry.
That's exactly right. like you sit down with me, and the pasta is overcooked, and you're not complaining.
I am not a lot the way you're a lot. You are a lot. You are so specific. You're so much a lot that it comes down to what other people are wearing and what other people are eating and what other people are doing. You're not even, you're a lot by yourself, and then you're a lot on behalf of everyone
else. I am allowed
to
have opinions. I'm allowed to say if you're wearing a dirty shirt and PJs with dogs on them at the movies, and you're the manager, I am allowed to say that I think that that's inappropriate.
We allowed you to say what you're allowed to say about the manager's pajama pants.
Did you hear the phrase you just used? The manager's pajama pants. What has happened to this country?
The whole thing, man. Don't you see? Don't you see we're circling the drain as a
I don't
society?
Want us to. I don't want us to.
I don't want us to either. But if some poor bastard who's getting paid nothing, and probably Todd's right, his employees didn't show, had to race over to open the movie theater.
He's got a pair of pants in his drawer. He's got one pair of pants. Pajamas with dogs on. It's not right.
You've plentifully pointed out, it's Bob and Sherry.
Listen, the new Bob and Sherry, 24/7 at bobandsherry.com.
So, end of the year, and we look back at Google and what were their most searched for terms of the year, or most searched for people of the year. So, here are the most searched for people in 2019.
Okay.
NFL player Antonio Brown. Supposed beatdown victim, Jussie Smollett. Drama-loving social media makeup artist, James Charles. I don't know who that is.
Oh, he is...
He's what? Why do I have never heard of him?
Well, you wouldn't, because you're not following makeup on social media.
Right.
And he's a big, like, Caramia, all of my kids' friends love him.
Kevin Hart and R. Kelly.
Well, Kevin Hart with that terrible car accident.
Yeah. You know who's, these are the most searched for people. You know who's not on there? Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. I mean, you would think that people would say, I wonder what Warren Buffett is up to because he's such a great investor. Maybe I'll, you know, search him and see what he's investing in. Or Bill Gates, who's come up with some mysterious invention that he's backing that will help with global warming. No, we go right for Antonio Brown, Jussie Smollett, James Charles, Kevin Hart, and R. Kelly.
I love that you're surprised and disappointed that people aren't Googling Warren Buffett to see what he's up to, but that is just not the world we live in.
No, it's not. It's not. I would, you know, if it were the most Googled celebrities or famous people, I could see it. But this is, we as a species, it's almost like we like to watch a car accident or a public hanging.
No, it's not almost. It's exactly like that.
Like the most searched for actors among the top three are Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. Well, they're not searched for because they have new shows or movies. People are interested in the scandal. What's going to happen to them? How much time is – and I'm as bad as anyone. I mean, when I see her, all I think to myself is, oh, my God, Lori, how did you get yourself into this?
I just saw there was a thing in my news feed about Lori Loughlin and one of her daughters. And as I scrolled past it, my brain went, she's facing 60 years in prison.
Which she won't get, but she is facing it. I know.
Look, she's not going to get 60. Would you? But, you know, would you like to be facing 60? I know
no,
I would.
No, I think it just must. Every day must be a terror for her.
Oh, my gosh.
A terror, waking up to that over your head?
That waking up every day and having that queasiness descend on you.
Yeah. How did she get a lawyer that said, you know, don't cut a deal? Just go into court and fight it, Lori. How do you get a lawyer that says that?
Well, I don't know that she had a lawyer that says that. I think she and her husband may have been driving that.
You can't do that by yourself. You have to have, that's why you have counsel. Because they know better. They know what the odds are.
But if you tell your lawyer, we are not taking a plea deal, we are innocent, we are fighting this.
Well, then he's got to defend you as best he can.
That's where, or that's she where can. It is.
Yeah. So what do you think she gets?
I don't know. 20? 15?
No.
Bob, she's facing 60 years.
There is no way that they're going to send her to jail for 15 years.
You're facing 60 years. The judge doesn't go, all right, well, you're facing 60 years, but you're awfully pretty. So 2 weeks it is. I just don't
see
it.
She has no record, right? She has, and they always take that into consideration.
But yes, they do take it into consideration. Max, you're facing 60 years. You have no record.
White collar crime.
I have to say that they'll probably end up maybe dropping some of the charges.
Maybe 5 to 7 years.
I would say it might be closer to 5 to 7.
I think that she's going to get a year. I was saying 6 months, but I'm gonna up it to a year.
It depends on the judge you get.
Yeah.
Because you get a judge, you know, you're looking at 60. Maybe some charges get dropped, or she pleads to, or they get reduced to lesser charges or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not walking with 2 weeks and community.
No, not two weeks. No.
Because they offered that and she refused it. And now it's kind of like, okay, fine.
Okay.
That's what you want to do.
You want to play with the big boys. Here it comes. Yeah,
I mean, she's taking her chances.
I'm up to it. She's in for a year, a solid year. And her husband too, right?
Oh, yeah. Unlike William H. Macy.
Yeah.
Her husband's in it.
Right.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.